Today is Tuesday, May 8th, 2018. I believe we're on interview number 34. And we're having a very nice conversation with Jim O'Mara. And we're in Jim's backyard on his deck. And usually, Jim, we just start out. I like to start out with maybe you could give us a little background review of your early years, maybe high school, go on from there.
Okay. I went to Farley St. Joe's to high school from 1959 to 1963, and then I graduated from St. Joe's and I went to Loras College from 63 to 67.
Did you consider any other schools, or how did you make your decision to go to Loras?
No, I pretty much wanted to go to Loras right away. I had, when I was going through high school, I did a fairly good job in basketball and baseball. And so the coach at Loras came out and said he wasn't willing to give me a scholarship, but a walk-on deal was in the order. So I thought, well, might as well go in, and it's close enough that it's close to home and get back and forth and the like. And so I get in there at Loras, and the first year I'm in there, I pull my Achilles tendon. Well, that took care of basketball as far as playing for the varsity. But I played some really nice guys at Loras and got to know quite a few people. Greg Gumbel was there at the time, and Laddie Sua and Joe Hijek, and a few of those that are on the Loras All-Stars from the past. So it was nice. So I graduated in 67, and then got a teaching job at Western Dubuque at Epworth, and that was a job at the portables in Epworth for the junior high.
Okay.
So even though I was a social studies major, I came out and I started teaching junior high science as well as junior high social studies, and stayed there until 1971, I believe it was, and the middle school in Farley opened, and we moved up there, and I got offered the job as assistant principal to Tom Wickham at that time. So I was there from 71 to 74, 73 or 4, I forget which it is for sure, 73 I think it was. And then Dick Walou left Epworth as the assistant principal, so I went down to Epworth at that time and became Ralph Buckman's assistant principal from 73 to 76. So, and then in 76, the district took over the Ackland High School, and I moved in as high school principal at Cascade, the new Western Dubuque Cascade High School. And from 1976, the bicentennial year, I remember going down there. We bought a house, we're moving in, and I couldn't believe it. We drove into town, and every fire hydrant in town was painted or made up into a different historical item. Might be a John Deere tractor, it might be a flag, whatever, but they celebrated the bicentennial.
Okay. That was that made it a very memorable.
Yeah. Good impression.
Yeah. You know, that had to be converting the high school at Cascade from parochial to public had to be some difficulties there, right?
Well, it was an interesting process. The parochial school, they loved it, and they had good reason to. It was a good school. They had a lot of success in cross country and in basketball and baseball, and the kids, of course, had all that history behind them, and they weren't real thrilled about switching over. One of the interesting parts was they would have a fine if they got caught smoking in the bathroom. Boys or girls, they had a $5 fine they had to pay. Well, when we opened up, there was no such thing as a $5 fine. It was a 2-day suspension. And that shocked quite a few kids and parents, but we worked through that, and that part got over. They weren't used to that type of authority, so it took a while for the kids to understand that If it's written down on paper and you're going to follow the rule, that's the way it is. So we did have a few of them that would transfer out and end up up at Beckman or back at Western Dubuque High School in Epworth.
You had the same, the reverse thing too, because you had some at Epworth that came back to Cascade, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there was a great number of them came back. Our graduating classes, the first 5 or 6 years I was there, was like 130, 140 kids,
okay,
which is, you know, really loud. Big compared to what they have now. I think their graduating classes now are like 65 or so.
Yeah, if that's that might be ambitious.
Yeah. So yeah, it made a big difference. And interesting part now, all the kids that I had during that transition period, all these kids that are having their success in athletics there now are all the kids of my students. So it's kind of fun to go to. I went up to Fort Dodge and watched them play in the state tournament. I watched them play in the state baseball tournament here. Basketball, I haven't gotten a chance to see them in the state tournament. I watched it on the computer, but didn't see it live because Carol and I, my wife, were out in Arizona at the time. So that's one of those things.
Well, you had an excellent faculty.
Oh, the faculty was outstanding. I hired... Probably half of our teachers that I hired came out of the Aquin building, and they were excellent. They were outstanding teachers. When I went and interviewed for my first superintendency after I left Cascade in 1998, and the board that I interviewed with, they wanted to know what my background in academics was and how I felt about academics. They had heard of Cascade's success in terms of athletics, but they want to know personally how I felt, and I told them of all the things that I did at Cascade, the 22 years I was there as principal, the most outstanding thing I think I had is the fact that we had 23 National Merit Scholars, and I believe since I've left there's two, but during that time, and it had nothing to do with me, it had to do with the fact that the faculty was given a lot of free rein to do things and work with kids, and they really paid. We've had some very, very outstanding faculty members.
That's, you know, I'm looking back at it too, over that period of time at Epworth, and I think I give a lot of credit to Wayne Drexler, because when he hired people, it really didn't make any difference to him as far as their background, but he wanted good people. And if they had they were a veteran teacher, that didn't stop him either. He was ready to pay the extra amount to get a good person.
Right, and that's why I said when I brought the staff in that I did from Aquin, there's some outstanding teachers there, and they really liked getting hired because in some cases almost doubled their pay, and they were used to working with each other, and then the new teachers that we hired all kind of worked together and made one big happy family. So. And the other interesting part was that when we moved in, we started a new band program, which they did not have at the parochial school, and band parent group, and that was Charlotte Schmidt came down. She was a junior high instructor at Farley at the time and came down as the head band person. Did just a fantastic job leading that program together. And, of course, she had worked under Phil Schmitz and was very trying to upgrade the program there so it would be something comparable to what Phil had at Western Dubuque. And then we had other programs. They never had an ag program before. They never had an industrial arts program before. All those things. And I was very fortunate to get some outstanding FFA instructors. And we had just a really outstanding program there. Our math department, I thought, was one of the best in the state. We really, really, really well did well on all of the state and national testing and math especially. So, and at that time, that was really important because basically kids going on to school, we've had a tremendous amount that have gone on into education and into administration from education, which is interesting. We have a great number of doctors and CEOs that have come out. I just noticed the other day I was looking at the CEO for the Mercy Medical Center and the CEO for The insurance in there are both Cascade graduates, so yeah. You know, I look at that aspect. The assistant vice president at Hy-Vee is a Cascade resident, and so it's been fun just watching how certain ones have gone on and what they've done, and I think we have, at least that I can think of, about 8 or 9 people that have gone on and became doctors, medical doctors, and are having tremendous careers right now too. So
a couple aside from a couple weeks ago we go around to different masses and churches, and one Sunday we went to Mount Carmel in Dubuque, the BBM convent, and so we went to mass and I looked over to my right in this chapel and I saw this individual, and I thought, who is that? I realized it was Mary Lou Anglin, who was a graduate of our high school, and she is now the vice president of the BBMs.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so you never know how things are going to turn out for these kids. Sometimes you wonder, but I'll tell you that the principal at West Dubuque right now is somebody that I had in my office a few times when he was a student, but he's doing really great. So anyway, so at some point you made a decision to move on.
Yeah, in 1998, actually, I probably would have stayed in Cascade the rest of my career. And my granddaughter was being babysitted or taken care of daycare by a young lady in Norwalk, Iowa, where my daughter lives. And we had talked about a variety of different things. And well, as it turned out, this lady, while my granddaughter and another boy were in her possession, someone had come in and killed her. And when that happened, and my granddaughter had blood all over her, and the boy did too, and the like, and the crime has never been solved. But it just got me thinking that, you know, I was really in a place where I was happy. Everything was going correctly, liked it there and everything, but I just kept thinking I should maybe look at going on someplace else. And when I had first gone to Cascade in about 1980, I looked at going to the Amana Colonies. In fact, I was offered the job at Amana, as superintendent of schools at the time. And my oldest son, who at that time was about 7th or 8th grade, he just didn't really want to move at all. So I just put it off in the back burner. But when this happened, I said to my wife, I think we just need a change. Let's take a look at things. And then that semester, about November, I think it was, I saw this ad in the paper in Northwest Iowa, and interviewed at the Armstrong-Ringsted Consolidated School in Emmett County, and went out and interviewed with it. I enjoyed the board that was there, had a lot of good people on it, and made the decision to make the move. So that was my move out of Western Dubuque. I'd been in Western Dubuque as principal at Cascade for 22 years at that time, and I had been there for 27 years as teacher and assistant principal as well as principal. So that's when I moved on.
You were at Armstrong-Ringsted for?
I was at Armstrong-Ringsted for 3.5 years. And then I hit that magic age that I could retire under the rule of 88 in Iowa. And I had some friends that were in Prairie du Chien, and one of them said, well, why don't you see how you would like it up here? And I sent in my application, and the recruiter for the district called me, I guess the day that they got the application, said, can I come out and visit with you and talk to you and visit the community? And they did, and they came in said they had narrowed it down to 4 applicants. And
who was the recruiter?
He was a gentleman out of Milwaukee. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he called and said, we have four people we're going to interview if you will accept the invitation. And I asked him what date it was on, and he told me, and I said, well, as accident has it, I said, we're going to be up on a bike riding trip up in Rushmore, Minnesota, on the bike trail up there. And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. So I drove down one night for the interview and came back home and or back to the hotel, and I said to my wife, I said, that really went good. I said, I got a feeling by tomorrow morning you'll be getting a phone call. And next morning I got the call and offered the job, and went there and stayed there for six nice years. And then when I retired as superintendent in Prairie du Chien, I got elected for six more years as a county supervisor. So that's that's my background on there, and then I moved down.
I know that Prairie du Chien had a reputation as being a difficult situation.
Well, it was kind of interesting. Wisconsin labor unions at that time were a big deal, and the Wisconsin Education Association was a gigantic organization with a lot of power. They had set it up that the only way the teachers could have insurance was through their insurance. Unfortunately, their insurance was twice as high as anybody else's insurance, but it was in the contract that they had to take it. So this union was making money hand over fist. And somebody asked me why I like Walker so much in Wisconsin, and the answer was he got rid of all that crap. So now I think they still have good insurance and have good education, but it's not run by the high cost of taxes in the Wisconsin school district. So that's a known fact. But as a result of that, I wasn't real popular my first year. In fact, I think I got a vote of non-support from the teachers. And I used to go to school board meetings, and it would not be unusual to have 100, 200 people in the meeting or on the way to the meetings. But once we got through those first three or four years, and Walker came in and reestablished some things and the like, and then all of a sudden the testing scores for the school district started going up like mad. Didn't take long. And the people in Prairie du Chien, I got along extremely well with. I was a Lions Club member and a Rotary member. In fact, I was president of the Rotary when I was there. But they're very, very, very nice people. It was just the fact that the only aspect of it that it didn't work out really good to start out with was this fight with the union. And once we got through that fight, it was fine.
So that was when you did retire then?
I retired in 2007.
Okay.
Yeah, 2007.
And you said you were on the county board?
Yes, I was a supervisor for Crawford County, and I enjoyed that.
How many were on the board?
17.
Oh my God! How is that possible?
Well, Wisconsin is a true democracy, and every district or city, like the city of Prairie du Chien, was broken into four units. So there was four supervisors, depending on what part of the city you lived in, and then all the townships were represented by so many people. But there's 17, and we would meet once a month and for the county board meeting, and then each of us were on four other committees within the county. So we had personal knowledge and more intimate contact with different situations. So it was kind of a neat way of doing it. The county clerk had a lot of power under that setup, okay. but it was good.
The county clerk would be the main administrator, sort of?
Well, not really. She just pretty much just moved people from committee to committee and set up the committee meetings and that type of thing. And the chairperson of the county board, which was voted on out of the 17 members, had the power.
Okay.
But the clerk had a lot of power from the standpoint of being able to move meetings here and there and the like. And so it was interesting, but I would have stayed on it had I stayed in Prairie du Chien again, because I did like doing it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. But since I come back to Iowa, I've kind of, the only thing right now that I do is look forward to every November to head to Arizona and get out of this godforsaken temperature in winter up here. But it's nice to get back. Mm. This year I got back too early. It's nice to get back in May sometime, I think. But, you know, my days in Western Dubuque, I always look back on those so fondly. Outstanding people. Wayne Drexler was an outstanding person to work with and work for. Yeah. Tom Wickham, I was his assistant principal for 2 years at Farley. And outstanding person. Gave you a lot of freedom, do what you needed to do, and assigned you a lot of different things to do. And always kept trying to expand on what was open for the kids and the like. And that, I think that was what really helped me, is from the standpoint of trying to open it up so that the kids and the teachers would take more responsibility for their education, and I think they have, and I think it's really proven to effective. And I think Cascade has been very successful because of a lot of the things that we instituted there.
Was that period of time when you were at Farley, was that, I'm trying to remember back, was that that point when you worked out some termination letters on a couple guys at the senior high school? There was a rumor about that.
I don't think I do. What was that one on? Well,
it was rumored that you had sent out, had someone type out termination letters for Forky and Thurman.
No, that was for Cy Hess. I had gotten some things in, and Cy was the building and grounds guy, and so we just substituted a few things, and Mr. Drexler was not real pleased on that one. That might have been about as close as I had come to getting fired. I was taken, it wasn't taken as a joke by Cy, but it was by the rest of us. But definitely knew where the power was at that time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, those were interesting times, and obviously, you know, simpler times, I guess we would say. But I think we're both in a good place as far as being able to be employed at such a great institution as West Dubuque. And if you look back on it, is there anything you would have done different, Jim? That's a philosophical question.
Yeah, I really don't know. I was very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time. You know, and I look back at what Western Dubuque did for that area. You know, not only did they open up as a public school at the Aquin building, but they also took over St. Joe's building as a building for the freshmen for West Dubuque for, and I'm not sure how many years that lasted, eight or so?
I don't think it was that long. I think it was, well, maybe close to that, yeah.
But, it, you know, they took over for that one and gave us room until West Dubuque was able to pass another bond issue and get the people into permanent facilities. So those types of things really made a difference, and now they, of course, both at Cascade and at Western Dubuque at Epworth, you know, with the nice big auditoriums, nice big gymnasium facilities, nice track and football facilities.
Local option sales tax saved our butts.
There's a lot of things there that has worked together, and that's why I said with Wayne, he was very, very effective in terms of looking forward and seeing the big picture, which a lot of people are only looking at what's directly in front of them. And he had the ability and capability to look ahead and see where this could lead. And that's why I think Western Dubuque right now is one of the finest districts in the state. Yeah. So,
well, you know, Wayne never said this when I interviewed him. But now I'm looking back at it. One of the arts of being a superintendent, as you know, is setting up those board meetings. He was a master. Mm-hmm. He knew ahead of time how it was all going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Basically. I cannot say the same thing for his predecessors, the guy that followed him. But anyway, I'm sure you...
No, you got to do a little... You know, you got that thing there between a parking lot meeting versus a board meeting, and as long as you handle it on a one-to-one basis, you're okay. As soon as you start doubling up and making it quicker for you, then that gets you in some legal binds. But I think we're right. I think Wayne did a fantastic job of that, and knew how to manipulate the local papers, and as a result, got good commendations from them and the letters to the editor and all that type of thing. So I think he's was an outstanding person, again, in the right place at the right time.
You know, one of the other things I sort of, I don't know how this came out, or anyway, it was at the point where the decision had to be made where to put the high school when they were going to build it. And it was going to be either Farley or Heppel. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, there were some meetings held on some back roads of the county with some officials of the Archdiocese who did not want it to be in Farley because of the high school. That was my understanding as to part of the influence as to why it is in Hepworth. Because I think it came down to, well, obviously a vote of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a split decision.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know at one time everybody was pushing the site just north of Farley, where you're going up Cemetery Hill there. There was a big area there, and that was available. I think they had an option on it, I believe,
really,
to buy that area. And and then all of a sudden, people in charge of whatever kind of made it known that Hepworth had the public school, the public high school, let's keep it there, let's not make waves and the like. And
yeah.
And then that's when they had the other additional Piasta public school,
right,
opened up then too. So I think in the long run, they probably made the right decision.
Yeah,
from the standpoint of busing, it probably would have been better at Farley because it was more centralized.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if that would have happened, they probably never would have bought the Cascade building, because it would have been equal distance from everybody to come to the Farley facility.
Interesting how that all,
yeah,
all those decisions come back to,
right,
influence,
right,
others.
Yeah. As I look back, is there things that I would change, you know, working with one kid or another kid or, you know, group of teachers or whatever? I mean, there's always different,
yeah,
options you have, but I think for the most part, I think things went well, and I think I probably would have kept with what I had.
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks so much for your comments and your recollections on your time at West Dubuque and beyond.
Okay. Well, you take care. Thank you.